You know, the North Woods, think about the North Woods. It spans millions of acres. If you think about across Wisconsin, across Minnesota, northern Minnesota, across Michigan. So there's a lot of land there and a lot of trees. But those forests, all of them actually, are facing some increasing threats. Climate change comes to mind. I'm sure development can play a role as well. And we're going to talk now about some efforts to make our northern forests more resilient to environmental stress. And we have a couple of guests for you. Matt Dahlman, one of them, the Nature Conservancy's Strategy Director for the North Woods. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Larry. Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. Also with us, Laura Slavsky, a resilience forester for the Nature Conservancy. And Laura, great to have you with us, too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And both of our guests, of course, are based in northern Wisconsin. And as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. You spend some time in the North Woods. I do. I love it there. You wonder about the impact of logging and maybe climate change on the forests in our upper Midwest? Give us a call. Number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Matt, let's start with you. We often refer to that forested region of the upper Midwest, including Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan, as the North Woods. How do you define the North Woods?
Well, Larry, I think it goes back to, you know, childhood memories of, you know, large trees and wild lakes and rivers across the North Woods, eagles and bears and deer. So that's, to me, like what the North Woods is. But my role at the Nature Conservancy now has me working across that entire region that you're talking about, 60 million acres that we define as the North Woods. And it is really diverse. It's a place for plants and animals, and it's also really important for people, not only in the services and the function that forests play, but also in the jobs and the economy that it supports Wisconsin and the upper Midwest.
And we're talking about, how many million acres are we talking about, do you think?
Yeah, so we've actually done that on a map and GIS that out, and it's about 60 million acres of forest lands in northern Michigan, across the upper peninsula, northern Wisconsin, into Minnesota. So it's a vast area.
Yeah, I think we've got something like 17 million acres of it in Wisconsin itself, yep. Let alone the other ones. So talk about your organizations, the Nature Conservancy. What's it doing to protect the northern forests?
Hey, Larry, I'm going to start, and then I'm going to pass it to my colleague, Laura, to talk a bit more about what we're doing on the ground. But just to kick things off a little bit, you know, the Nature Conservancy is a global conservation organization. We're working in over 70 countries now also, but we have really strong programs in all 50 states. In the North Woods, in the work that we're doing here, it's really about looking forward and making sure that the forests that we have and generations have today will have those type of same forests to enjoy and recreate in, and the services that they provide. So if you think of forests, pretty important to human life. They when they grow, they're producing oxygen. When water and rain falls on them, and they're filtering our rainwater. So headwaters to the Great Lakes, headwaters to the Mississippi, creating oxygen. You know, they're also, you know, helping us cool, you know, in warmer climates. You know, in cities, our trees are helping really cool the climates in cities. So it's important, the function that they play. They help mitigate climate change. You know, they're pulling carbon dioxide in and storing and sequestering that carbon from the atmosphere. They're habitat for wildlife. And, you know, studies even showing that they're good for people's mental and physical health. So the Conservancy is really interested in making sure that we're taking the science that we're understanding and putting it into practice on the ground so that we can do what we can to incrementally make our forests more resilient. And with that, I would pass that to my colleague, Laura, to talk a little bit more about what we're doing there.
And Laura, your title, I think, is you're a resilient forester. And just start with what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my job title is resilience forester. And I think at its most basic, resilience to me means being able to adapt to change and kind of think about what's coming. So both with the work I do of what we're doing on the ground and in forests, we're kind of thinking about what's going to happen to these forests, what stressors and threats do they face, and what can we do about it now? And then we're trying to make forests more resilient. So being able to handle what's coming, drier temperatures, warmer temperatures, heavier storms, all of the above.
How resilient are they, our forests?
That's a great question. I mean, I would say they have some resilience now, and then we have the ability to help make them even more resilient. I think over time, maybe, well, not all of our forests, but some of our forests have become a little more simplified, at least in the number of species or the age of the trees. And we know that having diverse age classes, species, cover types, all of the above can benefit all of what Matt was just talking about, habitat, water quality, and just make more resilient forests.
Yeah, well, how do you manage that? I mean, how can the forest be managed to withstand some of the things you're talking about?
Yeah, so the team I work on, we do a lot of tree planting and then tending through establishment, meaning helping the trees grow tall so that they can be a seed source for future forests. So a big part of that is helping the trees not get eaten by deer and other animals. And then we also will go and try to help keep other plant competition away from the planted trees. So it'll be cutting around the planted trees for a period of time until they're tall and able to compete on their own, just to get a good species mix. And yeah, those are the kind of the main things that we're working on, which I can go into detail about too, but kind of the broad level overview of it.
It would be interesting to, I mean, you're taking, where are you getting the seed and so forth from? And then I think I understand that some of it comes from a little further south and to be planted in the north.
Yes. Yeah. So we work with a lot of different land agencies, a lot of public land agencies on my team, and each group has their own goals of moving things from south to north. Some are further along than others in their official plans. But each year we're planting trees from anywhere from, I don't know, 50 to up to 200 miles south and planting them north. Almost all of them to date have been species that currently grow up in the areas we're planting. So it's not moving new species up, but it's taking genetics from the same species that are on the further end of their distribution. And those ones have genetics that will help them be able to withstand warmer temperatures, drier summers, et cetera.
I'm thinking about all that land, and I don't know how many people you have to have to make a huge impact, but I mean, what's your progress, let's say, in the course of a year? How many plants might be, or seeds might be sown, or plants might be planted?
Yeah, well, we actually just finished our tree planting season for this year last Tuesday, and we were able to plant 2.5 million trees, just over 2.5 million.
Wow.
And to date, that means we, since 2005, have planted over 13 million trees. And that's the team I work on. There's other teams within the Northwoods that are also doing tree planting, so I'm not sure what the total number would be across the Northwoods.
That's quite an achievement, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of trees. It's a lot of coordination and planning, and that's kind of the bread and butter of the work I do, is getting all of that figured out and planned. I mean, along with all of my teammates and getting our contracts ready and working with partners, identifying sites. Just it's a lot to kind of wrap your head around when you hear a big number like that, to know what that actually looks like, means, and kind of how that gets done on the ground.
Especially when it's intentional planting. I mean, you were mentioning sites and so forth. You just don't go run out to the woods and plant a tree.
Absolutely, yeah. That's maybe it's a two-year head start for getting seeds to then be trees ready to plant, and then it's roughly a year for getting sites and figuring out all the rest of the details of what gets a tree planted. And then we're looking beyond just planting the trees. We're trying to keep them alive through getting established. So keeping them away from deer browse and getting the competition cut, all of that goes into it. So it's not just planting. We're going back every year on thousands and thousands of acres to tend these trees.
Man. Well, Matt, the Nature Conservancy owns about, I don't remember the exact acreage, over 100,000 acres of Northwoods in across the three states we were talking, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Is that right? And I'm wondering what you do with the land, too.
Yeah, so in the north, so we own about that in the three states. In Wisconsin, total in the state of Wisconsin, we have just over 30,000 acres. A lot of that is in the Bearable Hills area. We're doing a lot of forest work and making sure that we can perpetuate the oak forests that were down there and really driven by fires. In the north, we have a property called Carolyn Lake in Ashland County that has been our test site for climate resilience type of work, where we're looking at what the forest used to be and then using the latest science to project forward. Like, what, instead of looking back at the 1800s and that old forest, we're looking at what science is telling us that the future forest will be. And we're incrementally managing those lands, creating larger canopy gaps, planting some long-lived conifer tree species like white pine in there, promoting oak species. So we're moving that forest from what used to be probably more of a maple forest into something that's eventually, you know, years down the road, generations down the road, more into oak and pine to be more resilient for what science is telling us that climate will be in the future. So we're doing management like that. We also have properties where we're essentially are just watching as a control, like what is nature doing on its own, so that we can have that as a baseline to figure out where things aren't being manipulated. What could we be doing? So we want that control area too, as well as these places that we're incrementally moving towards a path, a more resilient future.
I was thinking about the past, it sort of came up a little bit of history. A comment reminded me made me think about the back in the day, the real history when the European settlers cleared land for farming and so forth. I mean, think about the size of the forest at one point in our state and where it is now. I mean, there's less now, I'm assuming.
We actually, in Wisconsin, we actually have more forests now than we had back in like 1950, because some of those forests are growing. You think about the people that tried to settle and farm the north, the soils weren't great, the climate wasn't too suitable for growing agricultural crops, and a lot of those just got kind of grown back into forests. But as Laura said earlier, our forests are really simplified from what that system used to be, both in the age classes that were out there. We used to have pretty abundant forests that were in the 200 plus year old range, and that has really been reduced to only a small fraction of our landscape. And then also when we cut the forests that grew back were simplified. Deer were a big driver in that because they love to eat species like our oaks and our pines. And when we have that type of browse pressure, we just get quick growing trees coming up. And when you look in the future, a lot of those quick growing trees may not be the most resilient for that future climate. So, yeah, our forests are really different, and it's pretty amazing the impact that we had in such a short amount of time across the entire Northwoods, from, you know, essentially the East Coast all the way across to the Great Lakes.
Our guest today, Matt Dahlman, Nature Conservancy Strategy Director for the Northwoods, based in northern Wisconsin. Laura Slavsky is the Resilience Forester for the Nature Conservancy. It's great to have both of them with us. Questions, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email the email address talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We're taking a look at the resiliency of our forest land, our northern forests, today with our two guests, Matt Dahlman and Laura Slavsky from the Nature Conservancy. It's great to have both of them with us. And again, you can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Let's go to Trudy in Milwaukee. Trudy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. It's great to talk to you in real time.
Great to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Well, this conversation, as I do most conversations on your show, and I just wanted to ask your guests about, I've been really inspired this year by what I've been learning about what the Menominee tribe here in Wisconsin is doing in sustainable forestry on their reservation, with burning, diverse tree age, planting, and just maintaining their forest over time. So I'm just curious what sort of inspiration or opportunities do the guests see to collaborate with Native Nations on resilient forests?
Oh, all right, Trudy, thanks for calling. Matt, turn to you for that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. I would say that the Menominee example of the way that they manage their lands has been kind of the gold star for how we all kind of look and approach it. It's about how do we remove what essentially nature is asking us to remove and leave the rest and let it grow healthy and strong. You know, that is an amazing place. If people have had the opportunity to drive through the reservation, you just know when you're there. You could just because of the volume of trees, and that's probably a lot of what northern Wisconsin looked like, and kind of the image in which we want to shoot for when we think about restoring our forests. So growing more and larger trees and making sure that they're healthy. So we have had programs within the Conservancy, and I know other agencies across the state have looked to the way that they manage and their advice to really influence sustainable forestry across the other management in with other ownerships.
Yeah. And Trudy, thank you again for calling. Let's take a call from Sarah in Lake Villa, Illinois. Sarah, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, hi. Thank you, too. I'm curious what new pests and diseases that native trees are going to have to deal with.
In that region. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, Laura, you want to take that?
Yeah. Let's see. So as far as I know, there maybe aren't too many brand new pests in the region. There's several non-native and native pests. So, for example, in northern Minnesota, spruce budworm has had quite an impact, as well as in Michigan and Wisconsin, I believe. And that's a native pest that has natural cycles, and it happens to be at its peak of its cycle right now in a lot of areas. I know emerald ash borer is a relatively big concern in Minnesota and Michigan, and that's been making its way through. That's an invasive species. Matt, I don't know if you have others. I mean, there's a huge list of species that impact trees.
Yeah, I would just add a little bit. If you look at, you know, Larry, you asked the question earlier about do we have less forest now than before? Our forests have taken a little bit of a decline in the last years, and it's primarily due to emerald ash borer. Wisconsin has something like 740 million ash trees, and if anybody has driven the state, especially up like Highway 41 or east of Green Bay, there is a lot of ash areas that have completely been decimated by emerald ash borer, and it's eventually moving across the state. So that's probably our most impactful and visible. One that's knocking on the door that we should all be aware of, especially for people that like the camp in the North Woods and love the large hemlock trees, is hemlock woolly adelgid. It's on the western side of Lake Michigan in the state of Michigan. It hasn't crossed into the UP yet, but it's just probably a matter of time. It's white and fluffy, and it essentially pulls the fluids out of a tree and kills it. In eastern U.S., it's had big impacts, and we need to watch and keep track of that one. That will have major impacts, kind of as obvious as the emerald ash borer if that gets into Wisconsin. So we need to tackle that as soon as we can, or as soon as we see it. So.
Yeah, there's never seems to be a shortage of things that can cause that kind of damage. I'm wondering, you mentioned lumbering earlier too, and do you work with, or maybe how do you work with lumber companies, the Nature Conservancy?
Yeah, Larry, I have another hat that is the vice chair of the Wisconsin Council on Forestry, and we. It's interesting when I talk to my colleagues across all three states, we have a similar a concern, and that concern is the changing of our forest industry in the area, because for years we've been able to utilize, you know, pulp, a strong pulp market to be able to incrementally manage our lands and then sell those forest products and then use that proceeds to go back into restoration work. So really use forest management to build healthy forests. So that type of forest products industry is really important to make sure that we can manage and address issues. We're seeing larger storm events, and we need to be able to go in there and pick up after those events. When we have these pests and pathogen outbreaks, we need to go in there. And industry has been allowing us to be able to have markets for that wood. And without it, it's a big concern of whether we can keep up with the multiple threats that our forests are facing. So strong industry is a good way to build in, help us build a resilient forest too.
It's a big deal for sure. I'm wondering, we talked a little, Matt, about the land that the Conservancy owns itself, but how does the Nature Conservancy help manage public lands that it may not own at all?
Yeah, I'm going to pass that to Laura because a lot of her work is landing on public lands.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, so in Minnesota, the Nature Conservancy is working a lot with public landowners, so national forests, DNR lands, and county-owned lands. So of those 2.5 million trees I mentioned earlier that got planted, all of them were planted on public lands. So we work very heavily with all of our partners to identify areas where we want to get work done and then getting the funding to do that work, and just this back and forth collaboration to be able to do management. And it's a way to help our partners be able to do even more than they're doing. So they have their own work that they're working on, and we are able to kind of help put it one step further across, in the case of Minnesota, across the whole Arrowhead pretty much.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, which I think is... Wisconsin's used millions of dollars through that Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund to buy and conserve forest land. There's been some talk about cutting back on that funding, but I mean, how has that really assisted you folks?
Yeah, the Conservancy in Wisconsin has utilized Knowles Nelson pretty good, or pretty regularly. Other land trusts in the state of Wisconsin have also been good, big recipients of that program too. From our perspective, we may only own 30,000 acres in the state, but over the years, we've helped protect over 140,000 acres. A lot of that land has been protected through working forest conservation easements. And typically that is like federal dollars matched with state Knowles Nelson money to be able to make those projects happen. And what the outcome of those projects are: maintaining public access, maintaining sustainable timber rights to it, and keeping those lands undeveloped. So, the way they are now. So the program has been critical in leveraging other funds. And when you think about the investment of state dollars from a conservation standpoint, we're bringing 50% of those funds to the table and matching it with the state's investment. So it's a really good deal for conservation in the end, because we're doubling the pot of money and it's leveraging a lot of good conservation. So it's led to protecting most of the timberlands that I am aware of that we own in the north, and about 360,000 acres of working forest easement across the north too, and across the state. So there's been other working forest easements in Baraboo and southeast Wisconsin also.
Yeah. I'm wondering about the kinds of conservation help that you receive in the form of volunteers. I mean, do you work with volunteers? I would assume you do.
Yeah, if we counted all the free hours we get from volunteers and the work that they do to pull weeds and prep places and keep trails open for people to access their lands and enjoy them, it's pretty amazing. It's a great network of people across the state, and all the states that we work have this foundational group of supporters that make our work possible, essentially. So it's also not only in the donation of their time and the work on the ground, but it's their dollars that they give that really makes the work that Laura and I do possible. Because as much public funding as we can get, it really also is dependent upon bringing in some private funds to match a lot of those funding sources too.
Yeah. And so, Laura, how will the average citizen help you and help keep our forests healthy and safe?
Yeah, a lot of the work we're doing is at a pretty big scale. And so it's through a lot of different contracts with people, but our chapter and probably every chapter of the Nature Conservancy has volunteer opportunities for planting, maintenance, working on preserves, all sorts of different projects. So anyone who's interested in helping out can go to nature.org and look up more information. You can look by state, region, and kind of just see what's up out there. And yeah, depending on the season, there's lots of different things people can help with.
And here we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for talking with us today, Matt and Laura. It's been a pleasure, and we'll hopefully be doing this again down the road. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thank you.
Matt Dahlman is the Nature Conservancy Strategy Director for the Northwoods. Laura Slavsky is the Resilience Forester for the Nature Conservancy. Great to have them with us, and we'll talk more about that as we go along today. And thank you so much for listening today. Shows are always a team effort, and we've got producers like Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, and we have two technical directors. Lee Rayburn's with me today, but Jeff Robbins also is involved, of course, and our executive producers, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.